Okay, we started yesterday discussing the halachas of Priyas and Torah. Today's daf is daf Chaf Beis. We are on Chaf Aleph and Beis by the two dots. We mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah discussed a few more in Yanav of Priyas and Megillah, but now for the rest of the time, we are going to be discussing halachas of Priyas and Torah, and a little bit Megillah will come up as well. The last line that we said was about, we know that there are 10 psukim, that is the minimum requirement for laning on any given day of the year. We mentioned the one exception during the year is going to be this Sunday, Purim morning, when we only lay 9 psukim. But generally we have 10. So the Gemara discussed, who gets the fourth pasuk? 3 aliyas, 10 psukim. So who gets the fourth pasuk? So Rava says, if the first one gets it, he's praiseworthy, he's meshubach. The second one is meshubach, the third is meshubach. And they brought 3 different rayas to this. The last one, Achron, meshubach, the last svara was, why would the last one be meshubach, praiseworthy, if he gets it? Because the Mishnah said, ma'alin ba'kodesh v'lo moridin. We go up in Kedusha and we don't go down. The Netziv wonders about this. The Netziv in the Shiltos and Shilta Chavav, this is a very unusual usage of the term Ma'alan Bakodesh Velo Moridin. Ma'alan Bakodesh Velo Moridin usually applies to objects. Objects. Before we put on our talis and tefillin in the morning. The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Chaf Hei, that first we put on our talis and then we put on our tefillin. Why? Ma'alan Bakodesh Velo Moridin. It has to do with the person. The person goes up, Bikdusha, so that, or let's say, I don't know, other examples that I don't think the Mishnah quotes any other examples, but you find that Ma'alan Bakodesh is by objects and not by people. So he says, what does it mean here that the last person is Meshubach Ma'alan Bakodesh? What does the person have to do with the other two people, the first two people? He doesn't have he's a separate person. So he didn't go up in Kedusha. So it says that it's Siv, you're right. We're misunderstanding it somewhat. Ela al karchach lo ba rava lidon ledin mi hakarim chashuv shel yehu ra'ui likro dalid. The Gemara here is not saying which person is Meshubach. It's saying mitzad the Parsha. Which is the praiseworthy way to treat the Torah? That's how we have to understand the Gemara. For the first person, for the Torah to be read, the first four psukim, or the last four psukim, or the middle four psukim. Ela mitzad ha-Parsha, yesh lefaneinu asar psukim, v'tzrichan anu la-ha'adif, chelak echad shel gimel psukim, v'litin la-od pasuk revi, u'bazeh yesh ladu, the gimel psukim rishon chashivi, or middle, or the last one. So that's what he means by Meshubach, focusing on the object involved and not focusing on the person, because it's not Ma'alan Bakodesh is not usually used in this way, that it's a few different people and the last one is the highest as Ma'alan Bakodesh. Okay, so that's the Netziv's Ha'ar. Two dots. So Shab Chay Rav Papa sounds like he prays, unless, right, you have to understand that Rav Papa praised the action that was done because of the Ma'alan Bakodesh, how they treated the Chefsa. But you're right. Two dots. In pochus a man may mosif an aliyah. So we learned that you're not allowed to add on or take away aliyos on a weekday, on a Monday or a Thursday or Shabbos mincha. Tana haposeach mevarich lafaneh vachosim mevarich lacharehu. So we know that in the days of the Mishnah, the first ole said the bracha lafaneh, said asher bachar banu, and the last ole afterwards said asher nasal lanu toras emes. Right? So one bracha, one before, and all the way at the end you have the last one. Why is this? Why may ikir hadin? Are there not separate brachos? So the Ritva says, because it's really all one big mitzvah. It's one big mitzvah of Kriya B'tzibur, says the Ritva. Dekula Kriya Chada Mitzvah Hi, Shana Asis Al Yidei Rabim, Ubechada Bracha Sagi Lekulu. Really, it's one big mitzvah. He says, similar to Rosh Hashanah. You have 100 kolos, you have one bracha. One bracha, V'hasam Lekha Lemigzer, Mishim Nechras V'yos, and there's no reason to make a gzera to change it. So that's why there's one bracha. He says, same thing if you do 100 shchitas, B'dikas Chametz, you clean a whole house. It's all one mitzvah. So here too, it's all one mitzvah. We think of it as different because we have so many brachas B'zman Hazeh. But Me'ikar Adin, it's one big mitzvah, and therefore, it gets only one bracha. V'ha'idna, but nowadays, says the Me'iri, says the Gemara, Tekul Mavarchi Lefanei L'Achareha, nowadays, each Ola makes their own brachas. Hayin Rutaima, why? The Takin Rabbanan, Gzeira Misham HaNechnasin and Misham HaYotzim. A Gzeira Misham, those going in and those going out. In other words, let's say somebody comes into shul a little late, during laning, and they might come in and they won't hear any brachos before the aliyahs that they're there for, and they might say that, Ayvei, maybe the first ole didn't make a bracha either at the beginning. Maybe there's part of Torah that doesn't get a bracha on it, chas v'shalom. So we don't want people to think that, so that's why everybody gets a bracha beforehand. And the same thing with people who leave early. You know, Zer Mishim Yotzin, maybe someone might leave early and they won't realize that there's a bracha at the end of laning. So therefore, we have a bracha at the end of Isha Aliyah, so whenever a person leaves, even though, as we'll see later, you know, not allowed to leave when the Torah is out, but let's say a person leaves early, so that is That is why there's a bracha afterwards. Poskim point out that this is an amazing phenomenon. For thousands and thousands of years, imagine how many extra brachas we're making since the times of the Mishnah. Billions, probably. Billions of extra brachas because of this chash that if somebody walks in later, leaves early, they might say, wouldn't they know? What if they see so many ladies, wouldn't they realize? So one day they walk out late. What about the other days? They realize. Because of this chash rachok, what about bracha levatala? Isn't that also an issue? Chazal say no. The concern of having everyone know that all of Torah gets a bracha on it is more important, and that overrides. Rav Moshe uses this far in a tshuva. There is a minhag in a small minority of kiddushin of Klal Yisrael. This is originally discussed already by Rav Shlomo Kluger in a tshuva, in Elf HaShlomo, in Siman Samach Gimel. There is a minhag that some have that the tochacha doesn't get a bracha. Very, very, it's against the Shulchan Aruch. But what does it mean, doesn't get a bracha? Many shuls, they don't call the person up for the tochacha. Either the gabbai gets it, or the rabbi, somebody, this person calls up, so you shouldn't, right, in Bechukosa and Kisavo, just the person comes and it gets the Aliyah. But says the Rosh Shlomo Kluger, there was this minhag a couple hundred years ago that there was no bracha, meaning the bracha, they entered the Aliyah beforehand, bracha tabir, bracha tabasada, whatever. They said no sin Torah, period. No bracha. Then they just start reading the tochacha. Doesn't get it. No bracha. Nobody, forget not calling the person up. No bracha. Says the Rosh Shlomo Kluger. Ram od minhag zeh, v'shtayim ros asu. Two bad things. Number one, nired mevazeh hatochachos. Right, it's similar. Why we're supposed to read the tochacha slow, faster and lower. So you read it so low, nobody hears it. That's just the opposite. The tochacha was supposed to hear. We should read it loud and clear and slow. That's what we should read the tochacha. So we all hear it. They take the musr. So number one, we're mevazeh the tochachos. Va'od dahavi bizayim l'gufa Torah. V'yal kol parshios mevarchin. V'yal zein mevarchin. Va'yi bizayin haTorah. And he says it's something that has no basis in halacha. Gabbaz ban hashas, even in the Gemara, they might have gone out of their way to make a bracha just to show that they accept this, to give a little bracha related to this klala. And Rav Moshe also has a tshuva in Chelek Beis, Simen Lamed Hey. So Rav Moshe writes, Mashinogen Beis about the Knessios, Shekorin at the Chachos, below brachos, Bedavar Beis Makomo, says Rav Moshe, Hu minhag ta'us, va'asur lehisnahe kain, ki asur likros patara betzibar, af pasuk echad below bracha. And then he quotes our sugya, Vaharbe brachos yaseiros be'etzem tiknu bazemishum gzeira, dechshash rachok, shema yomru shem bracha b'tor shem milfaneho. Even though this is such a chshash rachok, you still do it. But what do you see from that fact? This betziyah, that there are billions of extra brachos. Chazinan mizeh, godel iser milikro b'tor below bracha. We don't even want somebody to think that it's happening, let alone happening, mamish. So he says, if somebody has a smidog, they have to be mevatel it. Rav Moshe does not see a basis for this. Again, there are certain minhagim that I know of a shul that does it. Again, they have to do what they have to get a psak. But again, Rav Moshe and the Shlomo Kluger and other poskim, I didn't see anyone who says it in writing that this is a minhag that this is a minhag tos. Minhag tos, Rav Moshe says, Torah has to get a bracha. Okay, there is one shot of the Meiri that maybe. Different understanding of Nechnasan and Yotzin. The Pashas is because we're worried that people are going in, people are going out. So the Meiri has a different, again, this is not the Pashas of the Gemara. It says, V'yesh mefarshim, mishum nechnasim, sheyechansu bein rishon l'sheni l'shmoa kriyas ha-Torah, v'nimsei shmi'asam shelo b'bracha l'faneha, u'mishum yotzin sheyotzin kolim shikar ha-achron v'ein shon b'bracha l'achareha. The Meiri has a formulation that it's not just about people are going to think that there's no bracha being said, but it's just that everybody has a chiyuv, not only to hear Kriyas HaTorah, but to hear the brachos of Kriyas HaTorah. Not that they're going to think anything, they have a chiyuv to hear the brachos. Right? This is maybe the basis of some achronim have a chumrah, that by Parsha Zachar this week, yeah, even the brachos are part of the mitzvah. Even the brachos, because the bracha becomes part of the aliyah. So the Meiri has an understanding of Nechnasan and Yotzin, not just as a chshash, that people are going to think, which is the pashtus, and most we show in it, but he says maybe every person has an achrayus, has a chiv to hear the brachas as well. That's why the minhag is, quote in Shulchan Aruch, that a person who gets the aliyah has to hear the brachas out loud. You got to make sure everybody hears it. Right? If somebody's not going to hear it, you got to make sure, if somebody, elderly man, who's going to get the brachas, you got to make sure, the gabbai has to make sure that there are 10 people listening around, because he said brachas in the morning. The only reason he said brachas again is because it's betzibur. You got to have the tzibur there. So the person has to make sure that they say the brachas slowly and out loud in order for everybody to hear it. But the Meiri says that's his understanding of this nechnasin and Yotzin, that it's just per se, everybody has to hear the brachas. Okay, let's continue now. Four lines from the bottom. Barashi chadashim b'chol shamoik or narbab. So the Mishnah had said that on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed there are four aliyas. Three aliyas on a weekday, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, and then four on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. Ba'minei ula barab me'rava. Parshas Rosh Chodesh kesed koronosa. How do you break up and split up Parshas Rosh Chodesh? We know there are three parshios that we lane in the Rosh Chodesh laning. First we lane the Karban Tamid, Tzavas B'nai Yisrael, that has eight psukim in it. Then there's Yom HaShabbos, then there's Uvrashi Chachechem. So there's eight psukim in the first, and then there's two psukim in Yom HaShabbos, and then there's five psukim in Uvrashi Chachechem. So you have 8 to 5, and you got to split that into four aliyas, Rosh Chodesh. So how do you split it? So Tzavas B'nai Yisrael, Martalayim, Skarbani Lachmi, Tahavi, Tzban, Yipsuki, those are eight psukim. So Eichi Nevit, so how do you split up the first parsha, which is eight? Nikri Trei Tlasa Tlasa Psukin. Should we have the first two Olim read 3 and 3? Pashulahu Trei. But then that leaves over two Psukim in this Parsha. Ve'mishayrin b'Parsha 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 Psukim. And one is not allowed to stop less than three Psukim from the end of a Parsha Stuma. You can't stop there because, as we'll see later on, because somebody walking out now might think that the next Aliyah is only going to have two Psukim. And that's also, again, a lot of chashosh of... you might say that who cares what people think? So they're mistaken. The answer is no. When it comes to Kavanah Torah, we have to bend over backwards to make sure that people know what the halacha is, how many aliyahs and brachas, etc. So you can't have 3 and 3, the first two aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh, because then that leaves over two psukim in the parsha, and you have to leave over at least three psukim in the parsha. Nikri arba'a, to read 4 and 4, meaning to read the entire first parsha, so Pasha Lahu Shiva, so then that leaves over 7 more psukim. Ubiyama Shabbos Havin Train, 2 from Ubiyama Shabbos, Uvrashech HaShechem Havi Chamisha, and 5 from Uvrashech HaShechem. So you have 2 and 5. So Hechi Nevis, so you read 2 and 2. So now you have 2 more aliyahs, and you have to split up 7 psukim in these 2 aliyahs. But it still doesn't work. Why? Because Nikri, Trei Miha, Vachad Mehanach, should you read Ubiyama Shabbos plus 1 extra pasuk? 2 plus 1, Amos Chilin b'Parsha Bachlis b'Shalosh Psukim. That also doesn't work. Why? Because you're not allowed, just like we just said, you're not allowed to end within 3 psukim from the end of a parsha. You can't end within 3 psukim from the beginning of the new parsha. Because, again, somebody walking in now might think that you didn't read 3 in the previous aliyah. So therefore, you can't read, if you have 4 and 4 in the first two aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh, you can't just read 3 psukim, 2 and 1 in the first aliyah number 3. So likri trei mehava tlasa mehach. So let's say, okay, so read 3 from Uvrashi Chachechem. Read 2 and 3, meaning 5 for the second aliyah, but then, pashulu trei, there's only 2 psukim left. So again, you can't end within 3 psukim from the end of the parsha. So what do you do for Rosh Chodesh laning? So again, Eretz Yisrael, they do one thing. In America, we do something else. So where is it, right? And the Gra has his own Shita. Exactly, what do we do for laning? So Amar lo, Zulo Shamati. So says Rava, I didn't hear about this case, but Kiyotse ba Shamati. I heard about a similar case. The next 15 lines we had back in Maseches Tainis not too long ago. Ditznan, the Mishnah says in Tainis, that on the Ma'amados, on the lanings of the groups of Yisraelim that were split up in order to be representatives of Klal Yisrael for their Karbanos Tamid. So they had special lanings in their cities. Why? Because the Gemara had said that the world survives on Karbanos, so that's why they lane Maisa Bracious to parallel the Karbanos that they're standing with. So the Mishnah says that Maisa Bracious is split up among the days of the week. It's not by Yamarisha and Bracious by Yehirakia. So for example, the first day you read Bracious and Yehirakia. Vatani Allah Bracious Bishnayim Yehirakia Be'echad. And we learned that Bracious is said with 2 olim and Yehirakia gets 1 aliyah. So Vahavina Banu, we asked about that. Bishlama Yehirakia Be'echad Ditzlasa Psuke Havi. I understand that Yehirakia gets 1 aliyah because it's 3 psukim. 3 psukim, 1 ole, no problem. Ela Bereshis Bishnayim Chamisha Psukei Havi. But Bereshis with 2, but there are 5 psukim. V'tanya, and we know, Hakori Betor Lo Yifchos B'Shlosh Psukim. Now that I have less than 3 psukim, as we said yesterday, Kohen Leviim Yisraelim, or Torah Neviim Etzuvim. So you have to have at least 3. So how do you break up 5 psukim into 2 aliyahs when it comes to Maisa Bereshis? V'itmar Allah, and there we said, it's a Machlokes Amorayim. Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Doleg. Rav says, you know what you do? You repeat Pasuk 3. You repeat Pasuk 3. That's Doleg. V'Shmuel Amar Posek. Shmuel says, no, you split up Pasuk 3 in half. You split up Pasuk 3. So those were, that's the machlokas there. So Rav Amar Toli Demora says, why does Rav say to repeat the middle pasuk, my time alarm posik? Why doesn't he say like Shmuel, split the middle pasuk in half? Kasavar, because of the principle, kopsuki del pasuk emotion ala baskinole. You can't split, you can't say half psukim. You can't say half a pasuk. Right, you're not allowed to split psukim except how Moshe Rabbeinu split the psukim. So therefore, you can't split it in half. Ushmuel Amar Paskinale, Shmuel says you're allowed to. What about Shmuel? Shmuel doesn't hold to that principle. How could he say that you split the pasuk in half? The ha Amar Rabbi Chananya Kara, Rabbi Chananya the Balkore. Sa'ar Gadol Hayali Es Rabbi Chanina Hagadol. I had tremendous pains by Rabbi Chanina Hagadol. Below Hiterli Lifsok El Tinoka Shabes Rabban. He only allowed me to split psukim up when I was teaching the children. Hol Ul Hislamid Asuyin. Since they were learning it, so that's why he allowed me to split it up. So he holds of the halacha. You're not allowed to break up psukim. Right, so how could Shmuel say here that you can split it up? So he says, no. Why was he allowed to in the cheder? Why? Because there's no choice. The kids can't learn all the entire pasuk sometimes. You got to split it up into parts. So Shmuel would say here too, there's no choice. You have five psukim, two aliyahs, so you split it up in half. So that sheet does Rav. Ushmuel Amar, let's finish and then we'll talk about a few things. Ushmuel Amar posik. Shmuel says, no, you split up the pasuk in half. My time, but why lo Amar doleg? Why doesn't he say you could repeat the middle pasuk? Gzeira bishim nechnasim uishulam hayosim. A gzeira, because again, those going in, those going out. If you repeat the third pasuk, then people walking in might think there was only two aliyahs in the first one. If somebody walks in after the first aliyah, or if somebody walks out, after the first aliyah, we'll think you're only going to read two psukim in the next aliyah. So that is why Shmuel is worried about Nefnasin and Yotzin. Period. There is a interesting discussion. It's in Yonah the Yoma. Today's a Tainus. The top Tosfos discusses that the top line of our Gemara says you're not allowed to start from within three psukim from the beginning of a parsha. Tosfos says, what about Vayechal? What about Vayechal? Third line of Tosfos on top. The Kashal Minak Shalanu. Shon Akar Pashas Vayechal, Pataanios, Vaharishon Maskel Sham, Vahulisof, Shnei Psukim, Parsha Shalamala. It's within two Psukim from the previous Parsha. But the Marsha discusses whether it's true according to our Stumos and Psuchos. But he says, Vayechal, what do you do with Vayechal? Or a question that for sure is a problem. Vachena Maftir Biyanta Pacholamoid, the Pesach, Shamaskel Mehivi Hikraftem. On Cholamoid Pesach, and on the last days of Pesach, you read the same laning of Hikraftem, and that's one or two psukim right into that paragraph. I thought you're not allowed to start within three psukim from the beginning of a paragraph. Every aliyah has to be either at the beginning of a paragraph or at least three psukim in. So says Tosvos, so what do you do with Vayachal? What do you do with the Hikraftem? The Yeshlomar, the Shiny Elu Haparshios, Shahari Yeduos Hin La'olam, Velekal Amiti. These are famous, everybody knows Vayachal. Everybody knows you start with Vayachal. Nobody's going to think otherwise that you had a previous aliyah before Vayachal. Everybody knows. Laning is Vayachal. Everybody knows laning is Vayachraftem. If you lane it for a whole week, it's not like Sukkot. We have a different laning every day. Vayachraftem, you have the same laning the whole week. So therefore, that is wrong, and therefore it's not a problem. There is a Tosfos Rashi here who has the same kasha and says, gives a different answer. He says, maybe there's no chash of Nechnasim and Yosef by the first aliyah. The first aliyah, the second aliyah, people are worried what happened first, what happened second. But the Tosfos Rashi says maybe by the first aliyah there is no chash, and that's why these two are not problematic. Okay, we've discussed before, just to add on maybe one point, which I remember I did not get to mention the last time it came up. Kol psukim de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskina. We've had that already in Brachas and in Titus. They're not allowed to split up psukim in a way that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't split it up. So the post can point out that there are a number of times throughout our calendar that we seem to split up psukim. The most famous one is probably Kiddush. Right, we start Kiddush, Yom HaShishi. Yom HaShishi is the last two words of a pasuk. Makes no sense. Yom HaShishi, day 6, Vayichulu HaShemayim. So that's why in some benchers, they have in little letters, Vayyera Vayivoker, Yom HaShishi. So at least you get the whole phrase. It makes sense. Vayera Vayivoker, Yom HaShishi. The problem is, that's also half a pasuk. The pasuk starts off, Vayara Lakim Es Kal HaShar HaSav, Yine Tov Ma'od, Vayera Vayivoker, Yom HaShishi. That's the whole pasuk. So that is why some say, and in some benchers they also have this in little letters, that you should say the whole thing. Say the whole thing, Vayara Lakim Es Kal HaShar HaSav. Why don't we say it out loud? Because the Ramah says we should start Yom HaShishi out loud. Because it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yom HaShishi Vayichulu HaShemayim. stands for Shem Hashem, so that's why we say Yom HaShishi out loud. But some have the minhag to say Vayerev quietly. The Chasam Sofer says, I know this is the halacha, but I don't want to say the first part of the pasuk because it alludes to an evil medrash. The medrash says, Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asav Hinei Tov Ma'od. The medrash says, Tov Ma'od Zeh Hamaves. Whatever pshat of that medrash is. But says the Chasam Sofer, I don't want to allude to that medrash, the beginning of Shabbos. So that's why I start with Vayerev Yevoker. What can I do? But others say the answer that's given by many Acharonim, the Aruch HaShulchan and others, and that is whenever you're saying a pasuk, not as a pasuk in terms of learning, but you're saying it as tefillah, you're saying it as a bakasha, so then there is no problem of kol psukei delo paskei Moshe. Again, that comes up, you know, there are many other times that this comes up, but that is the answer that's given by Kiddush. But again, if somebody wants to be makbid and say it quietly, fine.
Is there any issue by songs?
There are two issues by songs. Number one, can you sing psukim at all? The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about singing psukim at all. So Rabbi Shechter is machbid about that, not to sing whole psukim, but assuming that you can sing psukim, like the minog of the Jewish music industry, assuming that you can sing psukim, could you have music? That's also a shaila. Shulchan Aruch says you can't have a Jewish music industry. So assuming you can have a Jewish music industry, and assuming you can sing songs, both of those assumptions, which are separate shir topics, so then can you sing? So again, if you're saying it b'toras shira, not as b'toras psukim, so again, maybe the same would apply. Maybe Shira Shirim is different. Shira Shirim songs might be different than Psukim might be others. But that is that. Just one other thought that I didn't mention the past time this came up, and that is Rav Soloveitchik noted that by Hagva we say two Psukim. V'zos atar shersa Moshe al b'nei Yisrael. That's fine. But then we say al pi Hashem yad Moshe. That's not the hemshich of that pasuk. That's a totally, we're mixing two psukim together. Look in the Siddurim. V'zos atar shersa Moshe al b'nei Yisrael al pi Hashem yad Moshe. That's two different psukim. So halachically, how do we do that? So you have to give some answer about like Yarach HaShulchan, but Derach Tfilah, or just say the first part. But Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter records this in Nefesh HaRav, on page Nun Dalet, maybe there's a symbolism of these two psukim. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave us the Torah, we know that he gave us the Torah Shebal Pechsav and Torah Shebal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu acted differently in the Mesira of Torah Shebechsav and the Mesira of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebechsav, Moshe Rabbeinu was a middleman, and he was the shliach. But Mashamaser Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shebechsav Yisrael who nikra sirsur. He is the middleman. Ki haya Moser davar shemichutz mimenu miakadosh baruch hu abnei Yisrael. Who were on the sides every time we got a Torah? Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebechsav, there was a bris, there was a treaty. Who were the parties involved? So Torah Shebechsav, it was Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And Moshe was one of with Klal Yisrael. And that's all he did. He brought the Torah, but really Hashem was on one side of the bris, and Moshe with Klal Yisrael was on the other side. But when it came, creates the bris, the Torah Shebechsav, Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzad Echad, but Yisrael mitzad Sheni, or Moshe Rabbeinu hayu be'emes chelek miklal Yisrael. He says, Masha ain't came when it comes to the creates bris of Torah Shebal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu played an active role. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah Shebal Peh, and then he integrated himself into the Torah Shebal Peh, and then was Moshe to Klal Yisrael. Hashem gave it to Moshe, and then Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Klal Yisrael, but who was on the side of the... Moshe Rabbeinu was on one side, and Klal Yisrael was on the other side. And he describes that's the difference between the Lashon and the Tochachas, between Kisavo and the Bechukosai. There are other Makaris that fit in, but he says that's Pshat, maybe... Pshat. Maybe that's a thought on this pasuk. V'zos HaTorah, when we look at the Torah, and we say, V'zos HaTorah, share some Moshe, the Fenei B'nei Yisrael, that's Torah Shebechsav. So some Moshe put it in front of Bnei Yisrael. And then the second half of the pasuk, Al Pi Hashem Biyan Moshe, where Moshe Rabbeinu has more of a say in it, that's an allusion to Torah Shebal Peh. So when we point to the Torah, or that's a question where that minhag comes from, at least when we look at the Torah by Hagba, and when we say V'zos HaTorah, we are saying that it's not only what we see here. It's Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh. We know that they go in order. And that is another upshot of how we could put two psukim together. It's also similar to the Tur writes that Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Emes after an Aliyah refers to Torah Shebal Peh. The Tur writes Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Amen Rasul Lanas Torah or Torah Shebechsav, and afterwards Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Emes Lechai Olam Nata Pesachenu. It's in us. That's Torah Shebal Peh. So the Mefarshim I saw once a pshat that because when we get up to the Torah and we're about to read in the Torah, so all we see is what's in front of us. We see Torah Shebechsav. So we make the bracha about related to Torah Shebechsav. But after we get an aliyah and we say, wow, there was such depth to the Torah, we try to understand it. So then we realize, Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Emes, we say a bracha related to Torah Shebal Peh. Because when we see the klaf, we realize that there's more here than that meets the eye. So that's the tour, and that's Rav Soloveitchik's idea about the two half psukim by Hagba. Okay. Meisvei.
So we have a machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel. What to do if you only have five psukim and two olin? Do you split the middle pasuk in half, or do you repeat the middle pasuk? So Meisve, we have a brisa that says neither. Parsha shel shisha psukim karnas abishnayin. A six pasuk parsha you read with two people. Shel chamisha psukim biyachid. Five psukim, so you read one person. So what happens if you need to read it with two? Kara rishon shlosha hashini kari shnayim biparsha zu biyachid biparsha acheres. What if the first person read three psukim of the five? So the second person reads two plus one from the next parsha. V'yesha abim shlosha. And some say, no, you can't do that. Lafi she'ein maskilim biparsha b'chachat b'shosha psukim. You can't read one from the next parsha. Read three from the next parsha. So you see here, what are the two choices to do if you're stuck? Read one or three from the following parsha. So they ask the Gemara, v'im Isa, and if it's true that what Rav and Shmuel say, l'man d'amar dolig nidlok, or l'man d'amar posig nifsok. So why don't you say either repeat the middle pasuk or split the middle pasuk? So says the Gemara, no, shani hasam def shabahaki. That was a case where you can lay into the next parsha. It wasn't a day that you only had five psukim to choose from. Whatever that Bryce was talking about, it was a day that you could go further. Amr of Tanchem, Amr of Shubin Levi, Halacha ki Yesh Omrim. The Halacha is like the Yesh Omrim that we just quoted, that you have to go three psukim into the next parsha and not just one. Period. Continuing. The Amr of Tanchem, Amr of Shubin Levi, Kishem Shem Asklin of Parsha, Pachas Begim of Psukim, Kachim Yishayrin of Parsha, Bachim Bishlosh of Psukim, just like the Yesh Omrim said, just like what we just said we Paschal like, just like you can't start from within three psukim of the beginning of a parsha, you can't end within three psukim from the end of a parsha. As we said, Gzeirah Nechnasa ben Yosef. Says the Gemara Pshita, isn't that obvious? Hashta, what's being added on by this last statement of Rabbi Shua ben Levi? We're added on that you can't end within three psukim of the end of the parsha. So we said, that's Pashit. Why? Uma aschalta to come make el tanakama. Machmiri yesh omrim. If there is a machlokes at the beginning of a parsha, meaning, do you have to end, can you end within three psukim at the beginning of the parsha? So there we said that Yesh Omrim is machmir, and the Tanakama is meko. So then, shiur de machmir Tanakama, lo kol shekin de machmir Yesh Omrim. So at the end, where even the Tanakama says that, meaning everybody agrees that you can't end within three psukim from the end of a parsha. So isn't surely, wouldn't we paskin that way? Surely we would say, the Yesh Omrim would say that you can't do that. Because if in the other case he says it's a problem, by the beginning of a parsha, surely by the end. So the Gemara says, no, you might have said as far the opposite. You might say, people coming in late to laning, okay, that's possible, that's common. Sometimes people walk in late. Shabbos mincha, right, Shacharis, no way. Shabbos mincha, let's say. Shabbos mincha, somebody could walk in late, right? Or let's say Shacharis, then they're going to a later minyan, and they walk in the middle of. So it's possible. So that's why maybe walking in late is shchichi, and that's why somebody might be worried about the nechnasim. But leaving, that's not shchiach. The machi sefer Torah v'nafki. The sefer Torah is out. Meaning what? There's a halacha. You're not allowed to walk out of shul when the sefer Torah is out. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Sefer Torah is out. You're not allowed to walk out of shul. It's better to walk out of shul right before laning than in the middle of laning. You're not allowed to walk out of shul until the sefer Torah is back. So that's why you might say that's not shchiach for people to walk out, kamash balan, that's the chiddush that we still are worried about yotzin. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the svar of the Tanakama, who's only worried about the end and not at the beginning? The Tanakama, maestro shiri delo. Tanakama says, why can't you end off within three psukim from the end? Mishim yotzin, askulinam exer, mishim nechnasin. So why isn't he worried? Why does the Tanakama hold that you're only not allowed to end within three psukim from the end, but you're allowed to end within three psukim from the beginning? So Ami Manda Ayel Shiuli Shail. It's easy, because if somebody's coming in and they don't realize, they'll ask. They'll say, wow, the first Ali had two psukim, and the guy will tell him, no, you're wrong. You came in late, we're reading this pasuk again. Yotzin, they don't have anybody to ask, they're leaving, they're going to work. That's why there's more of a gzeira by Yotzin than Nechnasin. Shalach le Rabba bar Brei de Rabba l'Rav Yosef. Hilchos Amai, what's the halacha? Shalach le Hilchos Adolig v'emsoi dolgan. The halacha is that you read the middle pasuk again. What is this line talking about? Hilchos for what? So Rashi says the Ma'amados. What's the halacha by Ma'aseh Breishis? But the Rif and others say no, this is talking about Rosh Chodesh. So by Rosh Chodesh, what's the halacha? By Rosh Chodesh, you repeat a pasuk, and that's what the minhag of Chutz La'aretz is. Minhag of Chutz La'aretz is to repeat the pasuk of Martalohem, right? The second pasuk of the third pasuk of the Rosh Chodesh lane. Period. Okay, Zehaklal, next part of the Mishnah. Zehaklal, Kol she'ish bo musaf v'chulu. The Mishnah had said that any day that has a carbon musaf but does not have Isser Malacha gets four aliyos, right? That included Rosh Chodesh and Chalamoi. So you buy Luhu. Taina Sibra Bakama. Oh, Yonah Dioma. How many Aliyahs should a Taina Sibra get? How many Aliyahs? Rosh Chodesh, Umoed, Yika, Kamar Mosef, Arba. Should we say that Rosh Chodesh and Moed and Chalamoed has a carbon musaf? So they get four. Aval hacha delaka carbon musaf lo, but a tiny seabird does not have a carbon musaf, so therefore only three aliyahs is appropriate. O dilma, hachanami ika musaf tfila. Or no, we don't have the carbon musaf, but we have extra davening, and maybe extra davening should be a reflection that we should have an extra aliyah. What extra davening? So Rashi here says anenu. Anenu is the extra davening. The Ritva says maybe it also means ni'ila. Means Tainus Sibra in the old days, when they used to have Ne'ila, an extra tefillah. Anenu is an extra tefillah. Again, that's what Rashi says. Tefillah is Anenu. Bracha Yaseira, at least let's say for the Chazan, he has it as a separate bracha. So either way, so how many Aliyahs on a Tainus Sibra? So Tashma, Bracha Chalash of Cholash Moed. So can we be Medaik from the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Rosh Cholash of Chol Moed, Kohen Arba'a. That line of the Mishnah says you get four, so maybe be Medaik of a Tainus Sibra Gimel. But then we said maybe you could be medayik the opposite from the previous line. Ema resha b'sheni v'chamishi v'shabbos mincha koron gimel ha'tanis sibra arba. So tanis sibra is out of the Mishnah. So there's one line of the Mishnah that says three, one line that says four. So basically, you can't be medayik anything. Ela meha lekel mashamina. So the Mishnah doesn't help us because it doesn't go either way. Tashma, we try another pshat, another proof. How many aliyahs does a tanis sibra get? The Rav ikla l'bavel b'tanis sibra. One time, Rav came to Bavel on a fast day. Come kara b'sifra. So he got an aliyah. They called him up to the Torah. Pasach barich. So when he opened the Torah, then he made a bracha l'faneha. Chasim v'lo barich. And when he finished laning, when he finished his aliyah, he did not make a bracha l'achareha. The next line will be discussed later. It's just the end of the story. Nafal kuliyama a'an payu v'rav l'nafal alape. Everybody said tachnun except for Rav. So we'll get back to that. So Michti, but whatever it says in the first line, Rav be Yisrael Kara. Rav was Yisrael. He wasn't a Kohen or a Levi. So Lechora, he got Shlishi on this fast day. And what does it say? My time a chasav l'barach. Why didn't he say a bracha after his aliyah? Why not? La mishim debay l'mikri yachrina basrei. It must be because there's a fourth aliyah afterwards, and he and only the last one. He, Rav, maybe still lived in the time when they only did the original first bracha and last bracha. So maybe that's why he didn't say it. Raya that there's four aliyahs on a tainus, because Rav didn't say the bracha afterwards. So the Gemara says, no. Lo, Rav Bakanikra. Rav got the first aliyah, even though he was a Yisrael. Why? Because he was a Talmud Chacham. And those days, they still sometimes gave Talmud Chachamim the first aliyah, even though a Kohen was there. Da Rav Huna, Kari Bakani. Because you see, Rav Huna himself was a Talmud Chacham, and he was called up for in Bimkom the Kohanim. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Bishlam Rav Huna, Kari Bakani. Rav Huna, we understand, was called up for the first aliyah, Dafilu Rav Ami Rav Asi. The Kohen Chashiv Dar Yisrael, make of Kaya Flele Rav Huna, because we know even the greatest Kohanim of the generation were Kafuf to Rav Huna. Ela Rav, Ika Shmuel, Takana, Avi Udvarle. Rav lived in the time of Shmuel. Shmuel was a Kohen. So Shmuel wasn't kafuf to Rav. So how could Rav have gotten the aliyah? The answer is no. Shmuel nai make up avikayv with Rav. Shmuel was kafuf to Rav, and really Rav was the gadol, and he could have gotten the first aliyah. Rav who double kavod. In all those cases where you see Shmuel got the first aliyah, because Rav gave him kavod. Rav knew who he was. But only when he was with him, in front of him, he gave him that kavod. But when he wasn't, he didn't have to, and therefore Rav could have gotten the first aliyah. And therefore, there's no raya that there were four aliyahs on a fast day. Hachanai mistavra, and now it makes sense to Rav Bakani Kra. It makes sense that Rav got the first aliyah. Why? You're focusing on the fact that he didn't make the bracha afterwards. But let me ask you another kasha, says the Gemara. Why do you make a bracha beforehand? It must be that he got the first aliyah. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe there's no raya, because la'achar takana. Maybe Rav lived in the time when everybody makes brachas on every aliyah. So therefore, don't be medayik from anything of this brisa. The Gemara says, 1 second, if Rav lived in Bizman Azeh, when you make a bracha for every aliyah, so why didn't he make a bracha afterwards? So shiny, the Gemara answers, shiny, hecha the yasav Rav. No, when Rav's base knesses, there wasn't an issue of being worried that people were going to leave early, yotzin. Why? The male Eili, people might walk in a little lake, mefik lonachki. Nobody's leaving early when you're in the base manager of the Gadol Ador. You know, nobody has that, will be able to do that. So that's why, even Bizman Hazeh, says the Gemara, in a place where Rav was, he lived at a time when they made brachas for every aliyah, still he did not make a bracha after each aliyah, because nobody left early in the base manager of Rav. Okay, just one ha'ara on one line in this story. When we quoted the story originally with Rav, it says, Kam kara b'sifra, Pasach Barech. He opened up the Torah and made a bracha. So this, the Sifsei Chachamim I saw said that this is a remez to the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Kuf Lamed Tes, where the Shulchan Aruch says you have to look in the Torah before you get the Aliyah. When you're called up to the Torah, Poseach HaSefer, Kodem Sheyavarech, V'roe HaPasek, Shesorach LaHaschil Bo, V'achach Yivarech. You got to look at the Pasek. And then make the bracha. Big question, what do you do after you look in? Some of the minhag to close the Torah, some of the minhag to leave it open and look to the side. Definitely not supposed to look into the Torah when we make the bracha, so it doesn't appear as if the bracha is written in the Torah. But different minhagim, both have basis in the poskim about what exactly should be done after one looks into the Torah. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what happens if you're shown the wrong spot? When you Balkari, for some reason, let's say Kiseitse, there are a few Kiseitse's next to Kiseitse. Or other times that there's you get mixed up. Naso, there are two Nasos. So let's say somebody shows in the wrong spot. So was that a bracha levatala? And he starts reading. So the general psak is, if it was open, if it was in like those three columns that were open, then it's b'dieved okay. Because, you know, even though you showed one specific spot, you know, it means everything on the place. That's generally the minug, accepted minug, but as long as it was open to that place, then you don't have to make a new bracha. Okay, Tashma. So we have another brisa. Again, what are we trying to prove? We're trying to prove how many aliyahs do you have on a fast day? Three aliyahs or four aliyahs. So Tashma, Zeaklah, this is the rule, says the Gebraisa. Kol sheishbo bitul malacha la'am. Any day that there would be bitul malacha, meaning people are going out to work, and therefore you don't want to hold them up. So any day that has that, kigon, tainas sibur, v'tishabav, koren gimel. There are only three aliyahs. You don't want to hold them back. So again, Tishabav me'ikar hadin, there's no isim malacha. We mentioned that there's a minog, and you don't see any simon bracha when you if you do work on Tishabav. But again, me'ikar hadin, there's no isim malacha on Tishabav or on a fast day. That's why those days get three. So it's mefurish. The Taina Sefer gets three. V'shein bo bitul malacha, but the Braisa just finishes. But a day that there is no bitul malacha la'am, meaning people are not rushing out to work anyway, and therefore there is no bitul malacha, kagon rashe chadashim. So Chol HaMoed, you get four aliyahs because people aren't running out to work. If they are, they're the exception to the rule. Really, they shouldn't be. Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodashim. Rosh Chodesh, people aren't going to work. Rosh Chodesh. So this is a much talked about Rashi. This is one of the minhagim, one of the sources for the fact that women at least don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, certain malachas. Poskim say sewing, maybe doing laundry. The women have the minhag not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So maybe that's what's being referred to here. Ein bo bitul malacha. Which some say that, so what does that have to do with the men running out of shul? The women aren't doing malacha, but the men are going to work. If the men are going to work, what does that have to do with, we're talking about the men. So some say that the Turi Evan asked that kasha, and he said, oh, maybe it means bizman habayis. Bizman habayis, when there was a carbon musaf for shchodesh. So that way, that in that bizman habayis, then there was an isur malacha based on that extra carbon being brought. He says, Rosh Chodesh asa basiyas malacha midina, for the men, bizman hamikdash. Okay, so that is... the Turei Evan. Where did this minhag come from, though? This we mentioned in the past, that the women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi quotes, is based on the fact that they didn't give their jewelry to the Egel. So big Rashi here, basically they didn't give the jewelry to the Egel, so that's why they got Rosh Chodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them schar. And there's even a remez, right? Rashi quotes this. It's a pasuk in Shmuel, pasuk right before Machar Chodesh, when Yonasan and David are talking about when to meet, there's a targum that says beferish that Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Kodesh, because it talks about Erev Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Maisa. Maisa that the next day is not a Yom Maisa. But the question is, what does Chazal say? Chazal say that the women got Rosh Chodesh because of the Egel. What does one have to do with the other? So many of the Bali Musar say that what was the mentality of the women that didn't give to the Egel? What was behind their thoughts? So the Mefarshim explained that women were very optimistic. The women, Bisman, Yitzias Mitzrayim, were optimistic. Just like the women in Miriam. Miriam had a via, goes to Amram and says, why do you take it back, your wife, have a child, it's going to be okay. So all the Nashim said, Kanios, they were very optimistic. They said, it's going to be okay, but the men said, forget it, we have to give it all up. And that was their attitude by the Egel. Right? All the men said, throw it all away, Moshe Rabbeinu's not coming back. Yet the women said, don't worry, they didn't give their jewelry to the Egel. So they had the optimism, tomorrow's going to be better, it's going to be okay, just look ahead. That's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, if there's any day, symbolizes hischadshu, symbolizes looking ahead, symbolizing newness. So that's the perfect schar that they got for their behavior, because Rosh Chodesh also symbolizes looking ahead and optimism, and just like the moon got smaller, but don't worry, the moon now is going to get bigger. So that's the explanation of the Rashi here where the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh is a day of Ein Bo Bitul Malacha, because the minhag was not to do Malacha. So Halacha L'maisa, you know, many are not machmir about this, but it's a nice idea to take one's wife out on Rosh Chodesh, make dinner for them, do something as a remez to this minhag. Okay, fifth line. Amar Rav Ashi. So we just proved that Tainus gets three aliyas, like we're going to do in a little while. But we didn't. That's not in the Mishnah. Zehaklal kol yom sheish bo musaf eino yantav karen arba lasu yemai. But we have a line in the Mishnah that says this is the rule. Any day that has a musaf and it doesn't have an isur malacha, you read four. What is that line including? My lav lasu yitainus sibur v'tishbav. Isn't that line including tainus sibur? What else is that line including? So it must be that you have four. So the Gemara says no. Rav Ashi masdis and mani l'tanakam v'lo Rav Yosi. You really think, Rav Ashi, that a tainus sibur and tishbav should get four aliyos? Nobody holds that. Look at the following brisa, which we also had in Masechas Tainus. Tanya, Chalios b'sheni b'chamishi. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Monday or Thursday, Korin Gibel Maftar Echad. So then there are three aliyas, Maftar being the last one. B'shlishi Revi Korin Echad Maftar Echad. The Tanakama holds that if Tisha B'Av falls out on a non-laning day, there's only one aliyah. Rabbi Yosi Amar La'olam Korin Gibel Maftar Echad. Rabbi Yosi says, no, you always get three aliyas. In either way, it's either one or three. Nobody says four. Rav Ashi, so how can you suggest that Tisha B'Av is going to get four aliyas? El Akash is El Klal. So then what about Rav Ashi's Kasha? Rav Ashi said, what's being included in the Mishnah? The rest is low. La'asuyi Rosh HaKadosh Mamawe. No, when the Mishnah says the rule of any time that there's a Musaf and no Isra Malacha, there's four, that's including Rosh Chodesh and Chalam Ha'oed. Says the Gemara once said, V'ha'bahed Yiktani La. That's written in the Mishnah. That can't be included in the extra line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that. You don't need that to include it. So Gemara says, Simana Ba'al Mayav. You're right, it says it in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is emphasizing it. Why? You might have said that everything in the Mishnah is all viewed in the same group. So the Mishnah is emphasizing that really there are different categories. Have this klal in your hands. Called the Tafile Milsa Mechavre, Tafile Gavre Yaseira. Any day that is more kadosh and more unique than the previous, so then they get an extra aliyah. Hilchach, that's why. Rosh Chodesh Umoed, Dika Karban Musaf Korin Arba. Rosh Chodesh Achala Moed, which has the Karban Musaf, it has one unique aspect, so it gets one extra aliyah, four. B'yantif, Da'asar Bas Yisra Malacha Chamisha. Yantif, which has an Isra Malacha as well, five aliyahs. B'yom Kippur, Da'anish Kari Shisha. Yom Kippur, that has Kari as its own ash, six, right? Yantif is only a lav. Oh, Yom Kippur is Kare, so six aliyas. Shabbos, he gets her skila shiva. Shabbos, which is the most chamur, gets seven aliyas. Period. Interesting Ramah. The Ramah writes in Kuf Lamed Hey, let's say you have two chasanim in shul that are both Yisraelim. The Ramah says you could add on an extra aliyah. You could have four aliyas on a weekday. So the Ramah says. Says the Taz, what do you mean people are going to work? The Taz says, that's the whole point of the Gemara, Bitul Malacha. You know what the Birki Yosef says? It's two chasanim. You didn't say tachron. Don't worry. They still have time. They didn't have time. So the extra aliyah could counter the fact that there was no tachron. It's the Birki Yosef. Actually, the Prima Gadim writes that in the olden days, they used to throw the chasanim out of shul on Monday to Thursday so they could save a huracham. You know, nowadays, we try to figure out where the chas is going to be. Right? But in those days, the huracham, a beautiful tefillah. And we dafka, Mondays and Thursdays are an ace rotzen. That's what we say. We say Monday, we save a huracham. The Prima Gadim says they used to throw them out of shul. Gufa, Rav Ikla Babel B'tayin Sibur. Rav was getting back to the statement that was said before. That Rav came to Babel on a fast day. Come Kar B'Sipur Pasach Baruch Hashem Lo Baruch. He said a bracha before and not after. But now we're going to focus on the second line. Nafal Kuli Alma An Payu. Rav Lo Nafal An Pay. Everybody else said Tachnun and Rav didn't. So my time Rav Lo Nafal An Pay. Why didn't Rav say Tachnun? So the Gemara says Ritzba Shal Avanim Haisa. It was a stone floor. V'tanya, there's an iser to do hishtachavaya on a stone floor. V'evin maskis lo sinu v'aritzachem l'shtachavos aleha. The pasuk says the end of Vayikra. Evin maskis, a stone floor you can't bow down on. That with what they do in the base of Avodah Zarah. Aleha tamishtachav v'aritzachem aval tamishtachav alavanim shal beisa migdash. In the base of Migdash, you're allowed to. But that's the only place. Kidu ulo damar ulo lo asra Torah el rispa shalavanim belvad. The Torah asers stone floors. This is quoted at the end of Simin Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Ramah. The Ramah writes that we're not supposed to do hishtachavaya on a stone floor, and the Rishonim say not only stone, any hard material, even wooden. Even, you know, this kind of floor also, one shouldn't do hishtachavaya on a stone floor. And that's why the Ramah says, at the end of Kuf Lamed Aleph, that is why, let's say on Yom Kippur, when we do a Shtach Havaya, or some of the Minhag on Rosh Hashanah as well, by Aleinu, that there should be a Hefsik. should be a hefsek in between one's body and the floor because of Isser of Evan Maskus. You have to have a hefsek. And the poskim point out, the Pesach Shuvah discusses this, the hefsek is between your face and the floor. That's the ikker. Not between your knee. People who are on the knee, they think they're taking the paper towels, they don't get their pants dirty. That's not the only reason you're taking paper towels. Take two. One for your knees, but also one for your face, because that's where there has to be a hefsek. The hefsek has to be between one's face. It's a halachic issue. I remember I asked Rav Schechter that, I don't know if he quoted this from the Rav or just, what about carpeting? What about a carpeted shul? So he felt that if it's wall-to-wall carpeting, it's also batel. If you have a rug, then fine, that could be a hefsek. But wall-to-wall carpeting is batel to the floor, and it's just like, other Rishonim say that any material floor that we're machmir, there's got to be some type of movable hefsek. Paper towel, a rug, something that is a hefsek between the floor and the person's face. So ihachi, that's why Rav didn't go down and do tachmin. Ihachi ma'ya Rav afilu kulanami. So what about the rest of the shul? So the rest of the shul violated the isser? No, kamei de Rav havi. No, only in front of Rav it was a stone floor. Everybody else had paper towels. Everybody else had didn't have that problem. So why didn't Rav walk 3 feet? Why didn't Rav walk 3 feet and just go to a place where there wasn't a problem? So the boy Mishrach Sibur. No, he didn't want to be, it was Tircha the Sibura for him to walk. They would have to stand up for him as he walked by, Rashi said. So that's why he didn't want to do it. That's number one answer, though. Why didn't Rav do Tachanun? Because the Isser of Evan Maskus. Number two, maybe, because Rav, whenever Rav did Tachanun, he didn't do like what we do, just bow, put down our heads. He did the whole Pishut. He lied down straight on the floor. This Isra of Evan Maskus is only when you go about all the way down. That's why everybody else didn't have a problem, because only Rav went all the way down, not everybody else. So ask the Gemara, so why didn't Rav just do the normal, regular, just going down on the arm? Why did he go down totally? Why didn't he do anything? He didn't want to change his usual minhag, so that's why he didn't do. That's why he didn't do anything, because he couldn't do Pishat Damar Aglayim, and he didn't want to change his minhag. V'ibay Yisayim, or another answer, Adam Chashev Shami. Why didn't he do Pishat Damar Aglayim? Because he was Adam Chashev. As we had earlier, Kedar Rabbi Elazar, Dar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Adam Chashev, Asher Lipal Apanav, Ela Imkei Ne'enek Yeshua Bin Nun. Adam Chashev is not allowed to do Pishat Damar Aglayim unless he knows for sure he's going to be answered like Yeshua Bin Nun. Dechsev Yomar Shem Yeshua Kum Lach V'chulu, as Rashi explained back in Maseches Tainis, if you do Pishat Damar Aglayim in public, and you don't get answered, that's a bizayon. It's a bizayon to the Talmud Chacham, it's a bizayon to his Torah, so that's why Rav didn't want to do it in public, the Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Tomorrow, maybe we'll say one part about, I saw the Megillas Hashas, about not saying Tachnun on a day of a yard site. He has a diyuk from this Gemara that maybe it's not appropriate. Okay, we'll start with that, and we'll continue. Okay, today's Shia was sponsored by the Shimon family for Donnie's Bar Mitzvah.